Ah, yes. Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And we are back in on another edition of We've Seen That. I'm TJ Reeves. He is the famous Jay. Are you in the Christmas spirit as we're ready to do this show, partner?
Absolutely. I just watched Die Hard, so I've got my Christmas movie out of the way. What are we going to talk about this week?
Oh, I think we're going to talk about a good one this week. By the way, we should mention to everybody that we thank you for popping on here as part of Christmas weekend. It is We've Seen That. You can find us on social media, on Twitter at We've Seen That, on Facebook at We've Seen That. You can find him at The Famous Jay. That is Jay Betzel. And I think we're going to have some fun. You and I have decided to talk Christmas and laughs, so it's only fitting that we talk a little Christmas vacation.
Tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la.
After vacationing across America and throughout Europe,
take it, Russ.
This holiday season, the Griswolds are going to play it safe.
Clark, we're stuck under a truck.
Oops. They're staying at home.
I give you the Griswold family Christmas tree.
Hope you're not getting sap all over your sweater, Clark.
All Clark wants is a quiet, old-fashioned Christmas.
Sorry. Oh, got a little knot here. You can work on that.
What he's going to get is the gift that keeps on living.
Merry Christmas.
His family.
We didn't come to impose.
Oh, hell, there's plenty of room.
Do you sleep with your brother? Do you know how sick and twisted that is, Mom?
Well, I'm sleeping with your father.
Have you got a kiss for me?
You better take a rain check on that, Art. He's got lip fungus they ain't identified yet.
But no holiday could ever be more deeply touching.
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
We're really gonna fly down the hill with this stuff.
So genuinely moving.
Can I refill your eggnog for you?
Drive you out to the middle of nowhere, leave you for dead?
More truly uplifting.
Can I show you something?
I was just browsing.
Or more down to earth.
Merry Christmas!
If Santa is smart, he'll stay well clear of this joint. It's a death trap.
Then Christmas with the Griswolds.
Everybody come out quick! Look at the lights!
They want you to say grace.
I pledge allegiance to the flag. The United States of America.
This year, let Chevy Chase light up your holidays. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
That thing had 9 lives. She just spent them all.
You
woo!
Crack up.
There we have it, Christmas Vacation, actually known as National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And it stars Chevy Chase, Randy Quaid, and it was released on December 1st, 1989. It opened at number 2. The box office, $11 million that year, that week, and for the total gross, $71,319,000. Here's a fun fact about Chevy Chase: without adjusting anything for inflation, this is his highest grossing movie.
Really?
With all these classics and stuff that he iconic movies, he's never had a movie that hit
more than Caddyshack, which we're big fans of, more than Fletch, which I quote all the time.
Right.
More than anything else he did.
Caddyshack had 39, Fletch had 46, the original Vacation had 61. So
right.
71 million. This is Chevy Chase's highest grossing movie.
They just kept building on the Vacation brand. So this one is full of lots of laughs, and you know, Chevy Chase again is a very funny guy from the old Saturday Night Live. How about this? You could always get somebody on this question. Let's see if I can get the famous Jay on this question. Saturday Night Live gave Chevy Chase his start. How many years was he on the show?
I think one.
Uno. You are correct. He was only there one time for one season, yet he became almost a comedy cult hero based on that show, and it eventually led him to get to do Caddyshack, Fletch, as we mentioned, and some other comedic movies. Funny Farm was not so good in the 1980s, but I mean, these Vacation movies are funny, so.
Yeah, he's had some duds, but I mean, he's had some really funny movies. I mean, probably his worst movie, if you ask both of us, is going to be Caddyshack 2.
Oh, why was it even made?
But he was only in it for a second, so you can't really blame him. I mean, if I was him, I'd have taken the money too. Yeah. Just saying. Well, don't forget Fletch the Chevy 2, Chase talk show.
Fletch 2 should have never been made, and then you're going to get to the talk show. So go ahead. Yes.
Wasn't there a Chevy Chase talk show? I never saw it. I think it was on when I was a kid.
Let me put it to you this way. I was older than you. I was in college. I literally think the show was on for like 3 months, and it was painful, Jay, to watch him because he was so uncomfortable trying to do this and trying to host and trying to get people to laugh. He was totally out of his element, and it was a shame. It was kind of like watching your famous sports figure who can't run anymore and they're injured or can't hit the baseball anymore or whatever. I mean, it was just tough to watch. But and that show was in and around off this movie in and around that time. But still, this one makes you laugh even to this day. And we're going to get into this as the show goes on. There are some really funny people that are in this, along with Chevy Chase, that helped make the movie, the third in the series here. So some interesting cast members that are in this that we'll get into as we go along. But yeah, Christmas Vacation. I can honestly say I did not see this one in the theater. It doesn't sound like to me that you saw this one in the theater either, or did you see this one in the theater?
I actually did see this one in the theater. One last note on Chevy Chase before we move on. I just want to say my favorite Chevy Chase movie is one called Seems Like Old Times. Have you seen that one?
Yes, that one is
good. Him and Goldie Hawn, Charles Grodin. So yes. We'll definitely do that on a future episode if we've seen that, just a heads up for everybody. But yeah, as far as seeing this one, I did see it at the theater. And I think I saw it two or three times at the theater because it's one of those things where, you know, whenever you're a kid and it's Christmas time, and when I was a kid, it was safe to have your parents just drop you off at the theater, and it was a good babysitter for a couple hours. And so I think we saw this one a couple of times. I definitely, by the time we got it on our home video, our VHS, I had already seen it a couple of times.
There
and of course,
go.
It was a mainstay on HBO. So
that's right. And I still remember, and we reference this all the time, and we've seen that going to the Blockbuster video store, because that was big in the late 80s and the early 90s, and renting Christmas Vacation on more than one occasion in a Christmas season. I think we went and did that like three or four times, because remember, the world used to be different. Kids, millennials, you didn't have movies just right at your disposal on a computer or on your on-demand on your cable system or your DirecTV. You actually physically had to go get them from a Blockbuster store and have them available, and they weren't even out yet on DVD. This was VHS back in the day. But I can remember we went and rented Christmas Vacation at least a couple of times. Now, our family began to morph more into the movie A Christmas Story, which has become a classic. But you're not big into that one, right? You're not into A Christmas Story, You'll Shoot Your Eye Out Kid with that whole thing. No?
No, I enjoy it. I know it comes on every year. I think it's either TBS or TNT where it's on for like 24 hours straight or something.
That's right.
You know, and so I've definitely been exposed to it. But like when I was younger, I watched this one and Scrooge with Bill Murray, you know, and Home Alone. We had kind of our normal little routine of holiday movies we would watch, and that kind of wrapped up basically those three.
Well, and you made mention that they run the marathon of A Christmas Story on TBS or TNT, and for years, and I'm having to look at the channel guide while we're talking, the AMC, American Movie Classics, AMC, has tried to run Christmas Vacation as a marathon movie on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day. They run a bunch of different Christmas movies, but they actually, for a few years, as a classic, began to run this one over and over and over again to get people to watch. And I'm guilty. I will sit there and watch this on a loop at different times in and around,
you know,
Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
When I was younger, was It's a Wonderful Life used to come on every channel all the time.
Right.
And the classic from, 47 with Jimmy Stewart? And I believe NBC bought the rights to it and kind of messed that up for everybody. Now they show it once or twice. You know, so it's kind of like more of an event now, but that's another classic. There's so many great Christmas movies, and this just kind of goes right with them.
Yep. All right. So I'm looking here on the channel guide, and I don't see it doesn't look like there's a marathon scheduled for Christmas Vacation, but that's beside the point. Our point is you can see this often. You can see it a bunch. It is on Netflix. It'll be on cable some this weekend. I've already looked at that. They just don't have the marathon going on. All right. So do you want to dive in a little bit into this movie and talk a little bit about the cast and about how it all came together along with Chevy Chase? Because Chevy Chase had already made the first two in this, and Beverly D'Angelo as Ellen had been in the first two. They're back for the third one, but then what else about the cast?
Cast-wise, Beverly D'Angelo returns playing Ellen. Are you a fan of Beverly D'Angelo?
I remember now. She's got an interesting career for a lot of different reasons. So, yes, I am a fan. I'm a fan from these movies, but I'm a fan for a couple of other reasons because of her personal life and some different things. Do you know a little factoid about her personal life?
I don't. Was it? Give me a hint. Where are we going?
It has to do with who she was married to. And one time, notice how I phrased that. Who
she was it Al Pacino?
That's right. And she not only was married to Al Pacino for 7 years right after making the Vacation series of movies, she has twins by Al Pacino, if I can get that out. Okay. Beverly D'Angelo and Al Pacino have twins. And the reason I care about that is because I have twins. So you always pay attention to these things. So there you go. So whenever now I see Christmas Vacation, I think about that. And her twins have to be like almost grown at this point because of that. So, yeah, how about that?
Well, and here's a funny thing too. You know, all the Vacation movies, they all have different kids playing the kids.
Right.
And I believe, I'm not positive, so don't totally quote me on this, but I believe it had something to do with the fact that after the first one, you had Anthony Michael Hall and Dana Barron played Rusty and Audrey, and I believe one or both of them were not available when they went to make European Vacation, so they basically just made it a bit. Well, they had different kids in all of them.
Well, yeah, but I believe she was in the second one, and then unfortunately,
she was not. Dana Hill was in the second one.
Okay, all right, so I got that. And so the other dynamic is that, you know, you have different stars, different levels, because Anthony Michael Hall's career took off, like you mentioned. So he was not going to be back for European Vacation.
16 Candles, right. Breakfast Club, Weird Science. He went off into the John Hughes stratosphere, which I should probably mention John Hughes did write this movie. So this is definitely part of that group. It's not, it may not be a high school movie like we think of John Hughes, but you know, he made Planes, Trains, Automobiles, The Home Alone 1 and 2. You know, he's got plenty of things that definitely fit this one too. So this
one
is,
but we all know 16 Candles and Ferris Bueller's Day Off and The Breakfast Club. So right out of that mode for John Hughes on this. All right. So what else though on the cast? Keep going on the cast.
On the kids we were talking about, we have Juliette Lewis in an early role. You know, she went on to be huge. And this was like, I believe her maybe fourth or fifth movie. And she played Audrey in this one, and she does a great job.
Isn't it fair to say, though, that this is about the least whacked role that Juliette Lewis has had in a long, long time, was playing innocent Audrey, the teenage daughter, in Christmas Vacation? Because she's had a lot of whacked roles.
Think of some of her credits. She had Cape Fear.
Right.
Natural Born Killers. Whacked role. The movie California with a K with Brad Pitt.
Right.
And, you know, what else was she in? Strange Days. I believe she was in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Another whacked movie, so, Dusk Till Dawn. And then you've got a television series that she was part of. She's like an FBI profiler or something. So she's done some things here and there.
Well, you know, The Firm is one of our favorite movies. She was on that TV series of The Firm that was, I believe, lasted maybe one season. She was in that.
I don't really remember it, so it gives you an idea of how long it lasted.
It was I want to say maybe in 12 or 13. It's been 5 or 6 years ago since it came on. She was also on Wayward Pines, that show with Matt Dillon.
All right.
So she's still around. She's still making stuff right now. A lot of her stuff now is kind of morphed into TV. And so in this one, too, Rusty actually may have ended up being bigger in real life, because Johnny Galecki is known for The Big Bang Theory. Are you a fan of that show?
Well right. And so you see him now in this, and you see him in, and he's done some acting roles, but yeah, he's big time on The Big Bang. But that was him as a kid back in 1989. So it's fascinating to go back and look at who's in these. A couple more of my favorites. Doris Roberts, great character actress. The late Doris Roberts is in this, and she's funny in some different parts. And aren't we both big fans of Randy Quaid? I know he's gone off the deep end recently in his own personal life and his own dealings, but he's funny in some movies, including as Cousin Eddie in this, right?
He's obviously the highlight of this movie, playing Cousin Eddie. Yes, I mean, in real life, we know that he basically morphed into his character from Independence Day, where he just kind of, you're looking at him going, come on, man. You know, it's hard to imagine that him and Dennis Quaid are brothers, because they don't look anything alike. They certainly don't act very much alike, but yeah, I believe, was it a couple years back where he got in trouble for squatting in a house or something?
Yeah.
And then he thought that the FBI was after him. So
yeah,
he
he's been on the run to like Canada, owes a bunch of people money, but he's still very much a funny character actor in a lot of different roles and situations, including this one.
Let's look at him real quick. I mentioned Independence Day. This is like his fourth biggest movie he was in. He was in Independence Day. He was also in Days of Thunder.
Right.
Remember that?
As the car owner, of course.
The car owner, or the team owner, basically.
Tim.
And then
Is it City Chevrolet selling the car?
Right.
Selling the cars.
Essentially playing Rick Hendricks.
Yeah, and he starts his NASCAR team up with Robert Duvall and with Tom Cruise. And so,
right.
Yeah, he's
and
got some
Tom Cruise gets hurt, he has another team with Cary Elwes playing Russ Wheeler.
There we go.
But I digress.
Yes.
And then he had National Lampoon's using the original Vacation. Remember, they're driving across the country and they stop at his house and he asks Chevy Chase being borrowed $52,000 because he needs a little bit of money to help him out. He's in that one too. So those are some of Randy Quaid's bigger movies.
But you've already made reference to Caddyshack 2. Randy Quaid is part of.
That is not one of his bigger movies.
No,
he was in it.
But you and I are big golf guys here. As part of, we've seen that. And Randy Quaid is in a great movie that is unknown, basically, unless you're a golf fan and a Randy Quaid fan, called Dead Solid Perfect, where he goes and qualifies and eventually wins the U.S. Open. There, I just spoiled it, as a golfer. But he actually has a decent golf swing in the movie. And I know his brother Dennis Quaid, his brother Dennis Quaid's an athlete and a golfer. But Randy Quaid's golf swing, unless they did some different things with body doubles and whatever, was actually pretty good in the movie. And I'll give you one more on that, because in the commentary in the booth in Dead Solid Perfect is Keith Olbermann, the longtime famous sportscaster from ESPN and other places before he became a political commentator and went off the deep end himself. Maybe he and Randy Quaid are hanging out.
Let me give you a few fun facts on Dead Solid Perfect.
Yeah,
everybody
please.
That listens to our show, they know that I live in Fort Worth.
Right.
It was filmed in Fort Worth.
Was it really?
Joe T. Garcia's and Cattleman's, they played at Colonial. They played a tournament called the Dallas Open, which they played over here in Mira Vista, which is about 5 minutes from my house. It was written by Dan Jenkins, the great Sports Illustrated writer who lives in Fort Worth, and
uh-huh.
He lives about two blocks from where I work now. So all kinds of fun factoids there on Dead Solid Perfect. And it was actually an HBO movie, and it never was out at the theaters or anything. And it's really hard to find, but if you can find it, it's a fun movie to watch.
Maybe
especially
go on the...
if you're a fan of the Caddyshack, Tin Cup, Happy Gilmore type. Well, maybe not so much Happy Gilmore, but if you're a fan of the golf movies, you'll definitely like Dead Solid Perfect.
So maybe you find it on the HBO Go app. And he made Dead Solid Perfect before Christmas Vacation. What's the year on that, since you're looking at the breakdown?
It was 88.
So right before this.
Christmas Vacation was the next year.
Right. And so, again, look that one up. So Quaid
had
some good roles.
Perfect right after Caddyshack 2, so he rebounded from that abomination of a film.
Yeah. I love it. I love it on Randy Quaid. All right, anything else from the cast? Of course, we've left someone out. One of the iconic comedic females of the last 25 or 30 years is in this movie, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, yes. Do tell.
Well, because we know her as Elaine in Seinfeld, that came right after Christmas Vacation, and she looks and acts so much like Elaine in this movie, Elaine.
What's her name in this movie? Do you remember?
She's Margot, right?
Margot.
He has Margot and Todd. Margot and Todd, the neighbors of Chevy Chase. Well, here's the other thing, because speaking of 6 degrees of separation to Chevy Chase in this case, it goes back to Saturday Night Live, too, because Julia Louis-Dreyfus got her start on Saturday Night Live doing sketch comedy on that show, and it helped her, I'm sure, land this role eventually on Christmas Vacation, and then eventually Seinfeld, and she's done a bunch of different things, including now, speaking of HBO, the HBO series Veep, where she plays the vice president, Selena Myers, who eventually, I'm spoiling it, eventually will become the president in one of the seasons, and they go on and on with the show. But to see the early days of Elaine Benes from Seinfeld, from Julia Louis-Dreyfus playing Margot in Christmas Vacation, I think that's a lot of fun, because it's a lot like watching Elaine from Seinfeld in this movie.
No doubt. And their dealings with their neighbors, Todd and Margo, and Todd's played by Nicholas Guest, just throw that out there, is probably one of the best parts of the movie. I mean, taking the Cousin Eddie side note out, I mean, he is, you know, he's a movie unto himself. But, I mean, these two are so funny, and they have absolutely no use for the Griswolds and their Christmas spirit with putting up all the lights and the ice thing that goes through the window.
Right, right.
My carpet and all that. I mean, they're so great. Lastly on the cast, I wanted to hit Clark Griswold, who's played by Chevy Chase. His boss, Frank Shirley, is played by Brian Doyle Murray.
Yes.
Bill Murray's brother, who we know from Caddyshack.
And Brian Doyle Murray from Caddyshack. Look, they're forever going to be known. And this movie was made about 8 or 9 years right after Caddyshack. But whenever I see Brian Doyle Murray, I'm thinking of Lou from Caddyshack, who runs the pro shop and runs the gambling racket, is the bookmaker. And Rodney Dangerfield as Al Chervik handing him $100 bills saying, hey, keep it fair to Lou. That, I mean, Brian Doyle Murray can act in 50 different things, and I'm sure he has, but he's always going to be Lou from Caddyshack.
Yeah, and this one, you know, obviously calls him Greaseball, and he's got all, you know, he's just a horrible person, and kind of, you know, the plot of the movie hinges a lot on his stinginess, where he decides to end Christmas bonuses without telling anyone and enroll everyone in the Jelly of the Month Club order, right?
Well, of course, so many people now in the present, in the 2010s, don't know what a Christmas bonus is. Part of your Christmas bonus is that you're still employed and you keep your job. But yeah, Jam of the Month Club.
What kind of bonus do I have? You'll have a job tomorrow. That's
exactly.
Your bonus.
Exactly. Your key card still works. So, but the Jam of the Month Club, that's an interesting gift. And really, the outline of the movie here is that Clark is trying to do something special for the family and is wanting to build a swimming pool with his Christmas bonus. That is part of his fantasy to take care of his family. And he loves Christmas. That's the whole premise here coming out of the previous two vacation movies. And
right, and the first one, he's driving from Chicago to L.A. to go to Wally World.
Wally World, right.
Essentially a Disneyland, Six Flags type place. And then the second one, they go to Europe. It's the European vacation. And, of course, you know, Big Ben Parliament, we know how that goes. And then they have this one, and they decide to stay home. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
Their whole point is they're going to have the, you know, family Christmas at their house. It opens with them going to get the tree, you know, and they, of course, because he overdoes everything, he gets a tree that, you know, doesn't fit in his house, and
right.
he fits on top of his car kind of thing. And, you know, the trip out to get the tree where they drive underneath the truck while he's just kind of, you know, thinking to himself about things. And then, you know, also when you're talking about the swimming pool, remember he sees the girl at the mall that he's totally in love with.
Mary.
That's how Clark is.
That's yeah. Mary.
That's
yeah.
my name. Anyways, and he fantasizes not only about having the pool, but, you know, he sees Cousin Eddie out there and just shakes his head and, like, great. And then, but he also thinks about Mary coming over and going swimming with him. So that's our Clark Griswold.
Okay, so this leads me to so many different things that we can ask about and talk about here with the movie. All right, so the first thing is that I'm a married guy, as I mentioned, with twins. At the time we're taping this, I have twin 9-year-olds, and they're big into Christmas. I am not a big decorator for Christmas, but I'm always watching Chevy Chase's Clark Griswold in the movie here decorate to no end. He's the champion of the neighborhood or of the block in decorating. I don't know this answer here on We've Seen That. Jay Betzel, are you a big Christmas decorations guy with Christmas trees and decorations at the place and all that?
Not really. I mean, we've got a tree and stuff, but I mean, I don't, you know, I'm still single, so I don't have the whole family thing like you do to have to go around. But my parents, they put the lights up and they get ready for us. Basically, on Thanksgiving, you know, here we have the Dallas Cowboys play every Thanksgiving. And so a lot of times I'll go to their house on Black Friday, you know, the day after, rather than going to the mall. And I get over there and they've got, you know, they're putting decorations up and everything. And they get all into it. So I definitely get to experience it. And here, when you're driving around the Fort Worth in the Dallas area, inevitably about one house on every street looks like a Griswold thing. They've got stuff up in the yard, and you're like, your electric bill this month is going to go, you know, through the roof. Just watching all this stuff. And I have a friend of mine who was talking to me yesterday, ironically, about this, that their neighbors kind of went Griswold on them. And when they have their lights on late at night, sometimes their timers don't work. It's hard for them to sleep because the light comes through the window and it's like the sun. So
exactly.
You know, there's definitely a lot of this that goes on, but no, to answer your original question, no, we have a few things up. I mean, I love the Christmas time. I just don't get into the
decorations decorate as much. Well, so now I travel some with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team, and about 3 weeks ago when we were traveling, we were going to road games three successive weeks, including in Atlanta and in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I come back home, and the wife had decorated with the lights on the front of the tree, little mini version of Clark Griswold, had put up the inflatable Minnie Mouse and Mickey Mouse, Christmas Minnie and Mickey, because we're not far from Disney World where I live here in the Tampa Bay area. And then we have what's called Santa Grande in front of my house, because the big inflatable Santa Claus, I exaggerate you not, audience and Jay Betzel, is at least 12 feet high and maybe closer to 15 feet high in front of my house. It looks like something that should be at a car dealership. It looks like something that should be in Christmas Vacation in front of Clark Griswold's house. Santa Grande is huge, and I may even have to drop a photo onto our social media and that stuff and show the fans. What do you think? The photo of my Santa Grande at night out in front of the Reeves household, just so they can
lovely.
See it, see what we're talking about. So
lovely. Show it around. Share it to everyone.
We should, you know, we do decorate some in my house, but just not to the extent obviously, of the Griswolds. Okay, so again, the premise of the movie is that it's Christmas. You've got the crazy family members coming over. That sets into motion. I think most people.
Clark Sr. and Nora, who are Clark's parents. Then we have Art and Francis, who are Ellen's parents. And you can tell that Art and Francis are not big fans of Clark's. They would think that Ellen probably could have married a little bit better. And part of his having everybody over is he wants to decorate the house and, you know, have the 25,000 twinkle lights is what he wants to put up. And so that's kind of the setup. And then, of course, don't forget that Cousin Eddie and Cousin Catherine and their family, they show up uninvited.
Right. They come much later. But I think most of the audience on We've Seen That can identify with having family members around on Christmas that may be a little strange. You don't see them that often. They have quirkiness about them. I think that's one of the reasons why this movie clicks from a comedic standpoint is a lot of us can identify with, okay, I've got a crazy uncle, maybe not to the extent of Cousin Eddie. I've got a weird grandma, or I've got somebody that's a little different. We can identify with that, right?
An annoying father-in-law. I mean, there's definitely a lot of those, you know, because a lot of fathers are like, you know, nobody's going to be good enough for their daughter. So, you know, something like that. That's kind of how Art is with this because, you know, Chevy Chase spends all this time putting the lights up and he can't figure out how to get them to come on. He's so frustrated. And so, of course, Ellen's parents are pointing out to the kids that what a waste of time this was. And, you know, and then Ellen, I believe, flips on a switch and down in the basement and it gets everything to work and actually causes a citywide power outage for a minute.
Right.
And of course, the one thing while it's on, everybody's so happy. You know, the one thing Art points out to Clark is that the little lights aren't twinkling. And he says, and thank you for noticing.
Well, yeah, there's different parts of this where he's clearly frustrated and he's trying to get into the Christmas spirit and he has different obstacles in front of him, whether it's trying to get the Christmas tree. And he's got at the very beginning of the movie, he's got the guys in the pickup truck, the rednecks, if you will, the dangerous cowboy looking dudes, backwoods looking dudes that run him off the road. Or it's his lights won't work, or he's not going to get his Christmas bonus or whatever the case is.
Yeah, let's mention on the Christmas bonus, don't forget he already put the check down, so he needs
put
that
the
to
deposit
cover that
down
check.
Right, yeah. To be able to build the swimming pool for the family. That's what he's going to put in. He's telling everybody about that, and so you can see the frustration building in Clark. There's no doubt that that's going to set the end of the movie into motion because he's going to have a snap, a break. He's going to have an episode because you can just see it building as Christmas vacation goes on, right?
Right. Well, you know, there's a part where like he's with Cousin Eddie at the store, you know, and they're kind of walking around and he, you know, Clark being the decent guy he is, he goes to Cousin Eddie and he says, you know, hey, we want to help you give you guys the kids a Christmas. And Cousin Eddie's like, oh, this is such a surprise. And then he pulls out a list. It's like an alphabetical order
of all the stuff.
And he says, I want to get you something really nice, Clark. So he wants Clark to buy himself something nice from Eddie. So that kind of leads up to it, you know, and you've got the part where they have the Christmas Eve dinner, which, you know, I believe Catherine made the turkey and it's horrible. It's right. Like she burned it or whatever. And, you know, and then you've got Lewis and Bethany are there, don't forget. And Bethany wrapped up her cat.
Aunt Bethany shows up and wrapped up the cat, yes, in the box.
Yeah,
and then
that causes trouble with the dog. I mean, there's just always something going on. And then finally, the courier shows up with the envelope that says that Clark thinks is a bonus. He says, I'm sorry, it slipped between the seats. You know, Merry Christmas to all y'all. So Clark tells everybody before he opens it, I'm sorry I've been so on edge. I wrote the check, you know, right when he says that, you know, Ellen's eyes get big. She's like, oh, God, this is not going to be good. And then he pulls it out. It contains the free year's membership to the Jelly of the Month Club. And he flips. He goes on just a tirade.
Epic.
He is going nuts. And basically what he says is that if he could have any present, he would like to have his boss, Frank Shirley, there so that he could tell him what he thinks of him. And so Eddie takes that literally. You don't really think much of it. You see Eddie's camper that's parked in the driveway. You see it driving off. And then next thing you know, he shows up with Frank Shirley in his pajamas to let Clark confront him about the Christmas bonus situation. When, of course, Frank Shirley's wife calls SWAT because her husband's been kidnapped by this lunatic on Christmas Eve. And SWAT shows up. And when they find out, you know, they walk in, everybody's got their hands up. And they find out why he kidnapped him. They kind of take Clark's side and Cousin Eddie's side. You know, where I think Clark says something about Cousin Eddie. He's like, my cousin, whose heart's bigger than his head. He's like, I appreciate that, Clark.
Yes, you know? Exactly.
And they basically end up, he's like, I'm reinstating bonuses. And he tells Clark, he's like, whatever you had before, add 20%. So it's a happy ending for all.
Well, yeah, and he's going to get the swimming pool made there eventually. So, yeah, you have several things at work there because you got family standing up for family in this. You're in the Christmas spirit. It's the time of giving. And then you have a hostage situation. You have a kidnapping hostage situation that's involved.
Well, don't forget, Cousin Eddie emptied the camper into the storm sewer.
Right.
So that causes this huge explosion. And while everybody's outside, Clark tells the kids that it's the Christmas star. And Uncle Lewis basically says, no, the light's coming from the sewage treatment plant.
Well, and the other thing is...
And Bethany starts with the star.
She starts singing. It's perfect. She's singing the star. And I don't know if that was originally written in the movie or if she just decided to start doing that during one of the takes, but that is tremendous.
You get the SWAT team and everybody, you know, takes their hats off and nobody kneels, so it's not an NFL game. But they all take their hats off and they put their hands over their hearts and stuff. And it's just, you know, it's just a fun movie. It's one of those two where we talk about this in a lot of our We've Seen That's that, you know, it comes on a lot. It's one of those where you don't have to see it from the beginning. You can pick it up anytime. It's really like kind of visiting some of your old friends and seeing how things are going with them. And it's just, it's a fun movie. And I really like the original Vacation. And if I had to pick of the four, you know, this one was followed by Vegas Vacation, which was essentially a commercial for the Mirage.
Yes.
With Rusty turning into Nick Papagiorgio and winning everything in Vegas. But
good morning again, Mr. Papagiorgio. Yes.
Exactly, because he had the fake ID for the guy gave him on the street. But this is probably my favorite of the four. And it's a close race between this one and the first Vacation. I don't really have a lot of use for European Vacation. I think Vegas Vacation's fun. It kind of makes you want to go to Vegas, which I guess is the point of the movie. But what about you? What's your favorite of this series?
I like European Vacation a lot, but this one is clearly my favorite. Again, at Christmas time, if it's on, I will watch. I will watch for 30 minutes. I will watch for an hour. My wife is a big fan of this. She loves this one, and she loves Will Ferrell in Elf. So I will watch it with her, and we marvel again at Julia Louis-Dreyfus being Elaine. Because, again, Seinfeld was so popular and was on every week, every fall and every winter and spring for 200 episodes or whatever it was in the 90s. And she's an ultra famous actress, comedic actress from that. So to see her in this before that is just kind of funny, kind of playing Elaine. And I'm a big Chevy Chase fan from Fletch and from Caddyshack. So I love sitting down to watch this one. And I probably am into this one and European Vacation more than the first one, than Vacation and Vegas Vacation.
The first one had Christy Brinkley. You can't top that.
Well, I'm not. She's in it for what, 5 minutes, though? But
she's in it throughout the movie, and she's at her peak.
Yeah,
it was like
course.
Right before she married Billy Joel.
Right.
She got that Ferrari. I mean, every single guy on the planet, their dream girl was wrapped up in her. And
well,
every time
she
would drive past them on the road or when he saw her at the motel and went into secret agent mode, you know, that was just – I really enjoyed the first one a lot. And, of course, the first one was rated R, you know, so it went out there a little bit more. I mean, it's funny to think of a family movie being rated R, but it earned that R rating, you know.
Yes.
And the rest of them were PG and PG-13.
A lot of sexual references and things such as that. And there's a little bit of this in Christmas Vacation when he's in the lingerie store shopping, which, again, I'm married, and there's been an occasion when I've gone and bought my wife lingerie at Christmas time or holiday time. And so you're uncomfortable. You don't know what to ask. And usually it's a very attractive woman who's standing there telling you all about it. And they're used to this. They're immune to it. You don't look like an individual. You look like just the standard guy that I have to deal with 15 times every day who doesn't know anything about lingerie to them. So it's just kind of funny whenever I see that scene and what he's doing and trying to shop. So, but yeah, I mean, if you're asking me which one of the ones I would go with this one. I would go with Christmas Vacation because I will sit, I will watch with her. She gets into it. Now, here's interesting on a couple of factoids. I did not realize this until we began to look at it a little bit. The movie is not shot in Chicago. Do you know where the movie was shot back in 1989 when they did the photography and the location shoot?
I wanted to say I read it was in Colorado somewhere.
Yes, it was in three different places in Colorado. Silverthorne, Breckenridge, where I've been, and Frisco. You used to live in Colorado at some point. So,
I did. When I got out of high school, I lived in Aspen.
Where is Silverthorne and where is Frisco? I've never heard of those. I've heard of Breckenridge.
I couldn't even begin to tell you. I know where Breckenridge is.
But my point is, I would love to know where that neighborhood is and if that house is a big deal. Because if you go to Cleveland, Ohio, for example, Jay Betzel. The house that they used in A Christmas Story is a tourism house. The family that owned the house, that rented the house out to the movie production crew and the studio to use for the family, the Parker family in A Christmas Story, they now have that essentially as a tourist attraction, as a museum. And you go in the house and can see all the stuff in the Christmas Story house. I would love to know if there is such a house in what town for Christmas Vacation in Colorado, in Summit County, Colorado. I don't know if it exists.
I'm going to totally burst your Christmas bubble here. According to the IMDb, the Griswolds family house is located at the Warner Brothers Studios in Burbank.
Yeah, but the exterior, that's got to be a house, doesn't it?
You would think.
And we don't think that house exists in Colorado anymore. It's gone. Nobody made it famous. I can't believe that, but maybe...
We'll see. We'll do a little more research and have it on a future episode. Maybe we'll, the next time we do a Chevy Chase movie, I'll have that answer for you.
You may burst my bubble big time.
Here's a couple of fun things I found. Actually, one other thing I want to mention about Christmas Vacation before we move on to just some of the trivia and the fun facts is that I know we're talking about this movie at Christmas, and it's Christmas in a few days from when we were recording this.
Right.
But you can watch this any time of the year. You know, this is one of those where it doesn't have to be. You can watch this in the summer.
Oh, exactly.
And it's still funny. You know, like there's some movies like The Ref starring Dennis Leary is another one of my favorite Christmas movies. And that one is funny, but it's funnier at Christmas. You know what
right.
I mean? And it's kind of one of those things where, you know, Home Alone's the same way. Whenever it kind of starts to get cold outside, maybe November hits, Home Alone suddenly gets to be a just better movie.
Well, and we're We're bragging on it because we just did it. Die Hard is the same way. They can be showing Die Hard in March or in July, and I'm going to watch.
Yeah, Die Hard and Die Hard 2 were Christmas movies that were released July 4th. You know, so I mean, it's definitely one of those. Here's a couple of fun things I found. So there's the time when Chevy Chase just freaks out because he can't get the lights to work, and he starts punching the decorations in the front yard.
Right.
And said he actually broke his pinky finger when he punched Santa Claus. So that's why he starts kicking all the rest of them.
I would believe that. So in that take, he actually hurt himself and kept going?
Yeah, and so the film kept rolling, and that particular take was used. But that's why he started kicking everything, because he broke his
pinky. I was going to say, and so then in subsequent ones, he probably had to throw the phantom punch with the broken pinky and then practice kicking again because – of the injury. I like that. See, these are good little things to watch for the next time. What else?
Yeah, and here's a funny one. Chris Columbus, the famous director who made the Home Alone series, some of the Harry Potters, really well-known guy. According to Chicago Magazine, during the making of Home Alone, this when this article came out, he was the original director for Christmas Vacation. After two meetings with Chevy Chase, he told John Hughes, who's the writer and producer, he's like, there's no way I can work with this guy. I know I need to work, but not with this guy. Please find me something else. So John Hughes sent him the Home Alone script in its place. How about that?
Wow. So that's how he ended up on the Home Alone movies with this.
Yeah, well, and again, the rest is history.
As I made mention of, Chase was a very famous comedian in the 80s, making comedic movies, having been on Saturday Night Live. But his personality was always aloof or different. And again, his television attempt at a nightly variety talk show was terrible. And his movie career basically went bye-bye.
Well, you know, you and I have met so many famous people between the two of us. You know, we've met movie stars and athletes just from our job.
Stop it.
And so, I mean, just kind of factoring that in, I understand that a lot of these people are not as awesome as I want them to be. But since I have not met Chevy Chase, I've actually seen him in person, but I didn't meet him. Since I haven't met him, I'm going to try and just think of him as the guy from Seems Like Old Times or the guy from Caddyshack or the guy from Vacation and not, you know, that's kind of the easier way, because most of the celebrities that you meet are going to let you down. You know,
they might end up being like Randy Quaid and owe you money and steal from you and then race to Canada and live a vagabond life with
the coolest celebrity I ever met was George Clooney. And he did not, you know, but not all of them are as cool as he is. Most of them are not. So just factor that in. So here's some more fun stuff.
Yeah, please.
The movie is based on a short story that John Hughes did for National Lampoon's magazine, which was called Christmas 59.
All right.
And it was published back in December of 1980. And when the studio Warner Brothers came to him saying they want another vacation because the series has been popular and that, the only reason he did is because he had this story to look back on and say, hey, I've already got the source material. That's a good, fun story that'll make a good movie. And that's the that's kind of the beginnings, if you will, of the Christmas Vacation.
Well, and a lot of these, that's how they come about, is they were written in some form or fashion previously, And then ultimately, I mean, the Bourne movies that we've done and talked about or different ones came about because somebody had written about them in some form or fashion, and then they get brought to life as an actual movie. And I'm glad that this one did. A couple of more things on this, on the different factoids and the dynamics. We were talking again about Chevy Chase, his popularity. Here's a fun story. Again, I work with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers football team, and at the time that we're talking, the Bucs have a safety defensive player named Chris Conte. Chris Conte's from Los Angeles, California, played his college football at Cal, but when he was growing up, he lived in a very affluent area of L.A. near Beverly Hills, and his family, he had relatives, he had a grandfather that was actually in The Godfather as one of the actors, one of the bit actors. He had another family member that was in movie production, so his family was in and around circles. One of their neighbors was Martin Short at the time that he was growing up, the comedian, fellow comedian of Chevy Chase from Three Amigos, etc. So through Martin Short, his family got to meet Chevy Chase and Chevy Chase's family. So this is going to be back in the 1990s, right after the time that Christmas Vacation is made. So Conte tells the story that he is playing kids soccer. And this is about when he is first grade, 6 years old. These are 5- and 6-year-old co-ed boys and girls playing. And Chevy Chase's daughter is playing on the co-ed soccer team with this Buccaneer football player as a 6-year-old, Chris Conte. And Conte says, I said, was she any good at all? He said she had no clue. She would stand there, stare into space. She had her uniform on. She didn't know what she was doing. There was this one occasion, though, where Chris had the ball, and he knew what to do, and he was trying to score, and he kicked it. And when he kicked it, Chevy Chase's daughter was standing in the way, and the ball deflected off of her and went in the net for a goal. So she got a goal, Jay Betzel, in the game. When she did, before the team is celebrating, before anybody else could get to the daughter, Chevy Chase had run onto the field like she had scored the winning goal in the World Cup and picked her up and is running like a victory lap around the field with his daughter, hugging her and kissing her because she scored a goal in the game. So I said to Chris, I said, so does that mean that all these years later you're still in good with Chevy Chase and you can like go hang at his house or he remembers you at Christmas time? He goes, I don't think he ever acknowledged our family after that. He goes, but his daughter's first soccer goal is because of me. So I just thought I would share that
as a little factoid.
These people do have lives. They do have kids. These actors, these famous people do. We were talking about Beverly D'Angelo having twins. They're now grown. They're in their late 20s after having twins with Al Pacino. So time does march on. That's for sure.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Here's a couple more fun things. When we have the part in the living room where Cousin Eddie and Clark are drinking eggnog,
right,
they are drinking out of Wally World mugs. If you pay close attention to that,
oh, I got
to
look
of
for that
we
again.
We know Wally World, right, from the first one.
When they got
then
there,
we
okay.
Also have a really a fun note. You know, the first vacation that had Cousin Eddie, he was not in the second one. The first one, he had Vicky and Dale were his kids, so he has to explain to Clark. You know, that kind of explains to the audience where they are. He tells Clark his daughter's at the clinic getting cured off the wild turkey. So that's why we know where Cousin Vicky is. And, of course, she returns in Vegas Vacation. She's a stripper or a go-go dancer, I believe.
Oh,
and
my
then
gosh.
Cousin Dale is off getting ready for his future. And Clark says, oh, college? He's like, no, carnival. So
exactly.
that explains where his kids are. And here's the answer to your question. The house in which the Griswolds and their neighbors live, and their neighbors specifically Todd and Margot's house, is the same house where the Murtaugh family lived in all 4 Lethal Weapon movies. The house
no.
on the street are on the Warner Brothers back lot. How about that?
You're kidding me.
There
so
you
the,
go.
So the
Another
interior.
Another Christmas theme movie, the, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, Lethal Weapon. So the interior, the exterior, that's not a real house. That's the
not.
Same house as the Lethal Weapon movies with Danny Glover's family,
that?
The Murtaugh family.
How about that for technology?
This is why you listen to We've Seen That, because
exactly.
Jay Betzel comes up with the factoid of the day. Although now, when I see this again here soon, I'm going to be profoundly disappointed that that's not a real house in a real neighborhood that I could go find in Colorado someday.
Even better, listen, when the Buccaneers go out and play the Rams or the Chargers, go over to the Warner Brothers lot and get your picture taken at that house.
Do you think it's still there? Do you think they left it there? Do you think they knocked it down? I don't know what the
I
deal
don't
is.
Know.
I got to go on the Warner Brothers.
You're the
now,
one that travels.
Man, this is like finding out, and I get the feeling that that most that are listening to us are adults. If you have the kids, hide them now. Turn the podcast off. Don't have the kids listening to us, because we're about to have adult conversation here in about 4, 3, 2, to get the kids away. This is like finding out that Santa Claus doesn't exist. I mean, to find out that that house isn't real, that that's a Warner Brothers lot house, man, that's a gut punch for me at the end of this episode.
It looks pretty legit, though. I mean, you know, Lethal Weapon looks like...
I mean, I can understand that they build a replica of the house and shoot the interior scenes, but to find out that that's... How about that? And it's the same house, and they just covered the whole neighborhood on the Warner Brothers lot with snow around there, and... Go on. Okay.
There you go. Here's another fun one.
I'm glad that you were able to find that for me. Anything else?
The Lindsey Buckingham song Holiday Road that everybody equates with these movies, is this is the only one of the movies to not have that song in it.
Really?
Throw that out there, because we always, when I hear that song, I immediately think of Clark Griswold in the station wagon.
Well,
you know, it just kind of goes hand in hand.
Let me share this with you, too, because there was a point in time about, gosh, now this is almost 20 years ago, when in radio duties, I went with my wife and with radio people with the University of South Florida here in Tampa. We played a basketball tournament Christmas weekend, Christmas Eve. We were playing in Hawaii. And nonstop in Hawaii, they play Mele Kaliki Maka, the Christmas song that's being sung by Don Ho. And of course, whenever we watch Christmas Vacation and he's looking out at the pool and Cousin Eddie and having the fantasy or the dream, whatever, while he's standing there, and Mary is now in the red swimsuit and taking the red swimsuit off, what's playing in the background, Jay Betzel? Mele Kaliki Maka's playing. So we have several friends and acquaintances. We all laugh whenever we hear that song, because we not only think of the trip to Hawaii for basketball, but we think of Christmas Vacation. And this song just kind of fits in.
Oh, it fits perfectly. A couple more fun things before we go. So you remember the reason that Clark and Ellen need to help out Eddie and Catherine with Christmas is because they're concerned that the kids aren't getting any gifts, because Eddie's been out of work for close to 7 years because he got laid off from an asbestos factory, and he is holding out for a management position. So right. there is that. We also have, while they're putting the tree up, It's a Wonderful Life, we mentioned earlier, is showing on the TV in the background, which everyone knows is directed by the legendary Frank Capra. And his grandson, Frank Capra III, was the assistant director on this movie to director Jeremiah Cheshek.
How about
that? So
that's
kind of fun. Brian Dole Murray, we mentioned, was from Mr. Frank Shirley in this, the antagonist, if you will. And he was also in the first National Lampoon's Vacation. He was the clerk at Camp Comfort, where they went and got the tents when they had, you know,
The ant that ends up and dies. I can't remember off the top of my head. Ends up dying, and they put her in the tarp and put her up on the station
they put her on
wagon
top
to keep
of the car
going.
And leave her at the cousin's house, Cousin Normie. So we've got that. Let me see if there's any other fun little facts on here. It says there's 4 Saturday Night Live alumni. Besides Chevy Chase, we have Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Brian Doe Murray, Randy Quaid that all appeared on Saturday Night Live. Did not know that.
Yep, how about that? There you go.
That's good to know. We have Cousin Eddie's son, Rocky. He is wearing a Las Vegas shirt in the movie.
That's Cody Berger.
Footage from Rocky 5.
That's Cody Berger, by the way, playing the role, and he's got what on now?
He's got on a Las Vegas shirt. And coincidentally, footage from this film appears in Rocky 5. And furthermore, the next film is Vegas Vacation. So there's a little Vegas tie into this, even though this one did not take place in Vegas. So anything else fun from you?
No, I think we've pretty well covered most of the different nostalgic facts. And again, this movie still holds up as a humorous Christmas classic with the Griswolds as part of the Vacation series. And so I'm going to enjoy watching it. I will see it at the time we're talking, probably at least once or twice more over the next few days in various parts or in full length. So I'm glad that we got to do this and get in the Christmas spirit with Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, one thing too. Usually on this, we've seen that we'll talk about what the critics say about these movies, and this one I say is a critics-proof movie, so we do not need to visit the critics from 1989 to see what they say. I was like, this is one of those movies where it is awesome. It's fun to watch this time of year, and we always kind of wrap up. We've seen that talking about how the movie does yearly on the box office, and I always quiz you, and you never know. So let's see. This one was 1989.
I'm going to keep my streak intact, I'm sure. I
think
I don't
you'll
know
be
the
good
list.
This
All right,
one.
Go
You've
ahead.
Got a, yeah. You got time. Christmas Vacation, 1989. grossed $71 million. It was number 15 for the year.
Okay.
You want to guess what was number one in 89?
Well, I remember we were talking about Die Hard, and wasn't Die Hard 89 or was that 88?
88.
All right, so I would have missed on that one. I'm drawing a blank on what else
this
is in theaters.
Huge, huge, huge event movie.
Give me like genre. Give me a couple genres that it will help me out.
Comic books.
All right, comic books. We got to go Batman, right? When there another Batman?
Batman was number one, the original Batman, right. $251 million.
And that's Jack Nicholson as the Joker, right?
Correct. All right. Number two, I'll give you a really good hint, had Harrison Ford and Sean Connery.
That's Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade.
Correct.
Where he says to him at the very end, I always famously remember this, Indiana. When Sean Connery says that so that he'll pay attention to him because he's not going to end up dying. Indiana. All right, so good. What else?
Then we have number three is Lethal Weapon 2.
All right.
Number
filmed
four,
in the same, the Murtaugh family in the same house as the Griswolds. I can't believe
it.
Keep going.
Yeah, the same house is Todd and Margo.
Oh, the same house as Todd and Margo. All right. Keep
Correct.
Going. Yeah, okay.
Then Look Who's Talking is four, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Back to the Future 2, Ghostbusters 2, Driving Miss Daisy, Parenthood, and Dead Poets Society wraps up the top 10.
How about
Let's keep going for a second. When Harry Met Sally, 11, War of the Roses, 12, Little Mermaid, 13, number 14, Steel Magnolias, number 15,
National
Lampoon's
Christmas Vacation.
I can't believe
the Little Mermaid wasn't higher than that. Those Disney movies are off the charts, and that didn't do
they
better
are now.
Than 13th. Yeah.
They are now. Disney is a different beast now than, you know, as we speak, I believe this week is when they have their deal with Fox. So that should have quite
buying a bunch of Fox movie channels. And, of course, Disney now has Star Wars, which is out at the time we're talking Christmas 2017. The latest Star Wars is out, so they're not hurting. They're not hurting on the different things they make.
But just, it surprises me. ESPN may not be doing as well, but Disney itself apparently.
I agree, but it surprises me that Little Mermaid wouldn't have been in the top 10 or the top 5 just because of kids. And the fact that kids want to bring their parents and it's extra movie, kids can't go by themselves, by and large.
Well, so, and I'm looking at this, too. Batman was released on 2,194 screens. Little Mermaid was only on 994 screens. It might have been one of those deals where, you know, they might have released it knowing it would make some money, but it was more for the home video because that was right around the time when, like, they would start having Disney movies would be released for $19.95 so people could buy them, where most movies on VHS were like $100.
Sure.
So that's that time. So what do we have next? What's the next movie we're going
to
do?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. Maybe we should ask the fans to hit us up on we've seen that either on Twitter or on Facebook and see what we should review next because we're coming to the end of the year. We've got the end of Christmas. I mean, what do you feel like the end of Christmas movies and the end of 2017 at the time that we're talking? So we got a lot of different routes we can go. Do you have a feel for it yet?
There are so many options I've looked at and I agree with you. I've got two or three that I've got in mind, but I think for this one, because it's the holiday seasons, I'm going to give back to the people that have supported us and listened to us, and I'm going to let them throw out some suggestions. If they go to our facebook.com/we've seen that, you can go to twitter.com/we've seen that, and just you can send us a DM, you can send us a tweet, whatever you want, and we'll see what we can pull off. Especially
give us a movie.
If somebody throws out one that I'm already thinking of, that's it.
All right, but let's set a parameter. Give us a movie that most everybody would know from around the 80s or the 90s, something like that. That's the parameters of our show. So, again, we're looking for fairly famous things that most people would have seen and obviously we've seen. So, yeah, I like that. Hit us up on Twitter.
Us up on Facebook. If I haven't seen it, as long as I can find it.
Well, because
I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it before that. There's most movies from the 80s and 90s I've seen. I mean, even there's a lot of direct-to-videos and HBO original movies that I've seen from then. But, I mean, that's definitely I've enjoyed doing this so far. We're kind of wrapping up our first year of doing this show. And like I said, we appreciate everyone who's listening to us. And if you have some friends that like movies, please tell them about the show. They can find it on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. We've got our catalog of all our shows. And if you go on iTunes, please rate us and give us a review. That will help us to get to the top where everybody can see us and learn about our show.
Yes, and learn much more about this. So again, find us on Twitter at We've Seen That or on Facebook at We've Seen That and give us a suggestion for the next show that we should do coming up. Listen, Merry Christmas to you at the time that we're talking. I know you want to say the same thing to the audience as well. We want to say Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody that's out there hanging out and getting ready to watch some movies in addition to being around their relatives, right? We want to say thanks to the audience.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next year.
There is the famous Jay. I'm TJ Reeves. That is our review of the 1989 Christmas hilarious classic, Christmas Vacation. Check that one out, and we thank you for being with us here. We will talk to you next time on We've Seen That.